Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Oikos Ministries and Facebook Live. We are here every Wednesday night and teaching the Word of the Lord. And you are sure welcome to go to our website at any time and peruse through there. The messages that we're preaching right now and teaching through are available, and also many other teachings and books and all kind of stuff on that website. I believe there'd be valuable tools that can just bless you so good. You can visit it, www.housechurchesusa.com, and you can go through there. We're teaching through my book I wrote in 2012 called The Doctrines of Christ. It's based on the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the elementary teachings of the doctrines of Christ, which would be repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, that's the subject we're on right now, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those six teachings, we'll walk through them through the next weeks and months, and we've been going through them and getting really positive and good feedback from them. A few not so good, but most of them are really good feedback, and we pray that these messages will bless you. Now, what we've been doing along the lines here, that we're dealing with the doctrine of baptism, and it's a plural in the book of Hebrews, and many times we consider the word baptism, we say baptism, and immediately our minds go to water. And I just want to just continue to say, yes, we are commanded by Jesus to be baptized. And I believe baptism by water is an important thing. But it's symbolic. It is always symbolic when we're baptized in water. Originally, the baptism in water was a baptism of repentance. I baptized with water, John the Baptist. I baptized with water unto repentance for the remission of sins. And later we taught on the doctrine of foundation of repentance and of faith toward God. But when we see this idea of baptism into, and then we look at baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized unto into Christ, baptized into His name, we've been dealing with specific issues, not baptism into water, but baptized into something very specific. I've noticed in my own personal experience, as I've understood this doctrine more and more, there are seasons in life in the Christian walk where you're focused, I mean, laser focused on particular issues that we're being baptized in. I mean, for instance, last week we covered His identity. We're baptized in His name and being baptized into who He is, the person of Christ, and really beginning that new persona in Jesus Christ. And this is the new birth, and be identified totally with Jesus Christ. And so that's just one segment, baptized in repentance. The baptism of repentance, where literally our mind is immersed into God's Word. That was very specific, in particular in my early days, but it's still a very important and specific thing for me right now, is that I like to immerse my mind into the Word of God. And it's there that I have fodder for the communion with the Holy Spirit, and I revolve these kind of thoughts in my mind all the time, and I encourage you to do so also. But tonight, we're going to deal with one. I don't have these in any particular order, but tonight we're going to deal with one I think should be first and foremost in most of our mind, and it's called the baptism into Christ's death. Very important thing here. Now, I know, and let's read it before I jump the gun. Let's just read it. In Romans chapter 6 will be our first text that we go to, and in verse 1 he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." He answers his own question. God forbid. So the Apostle Paul said, no, we're not to continue in sin that grace should abound. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, I've asked this question specifically based on this verse. So it's not me making this up. I'll be honest with you. I never would have thought to ask that question. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Most people just literally short circuit when you bring this up. It's like, what are you saying? We don't sin? And I mean, it's just like, I mean, this, it's so foreign, and I don't understand why this would be foreign to the Christian world. I had a guy on Facebook in the comments sections. He said, I guess you don't sin. I said, well, not on purpose. I don't go around willfully sinning, and I certainly don't practice sin or live in sin. I've been born again. I live into righteousness. And so it's just, I mean, I'm not ashamed of that. I mean, it's just literally, I'm not saying I don't have the ability to sin, or some of y'all might think I'm sinning just by saying that. Jesus called us to a powerful grace that teaches us to deny worldliness and ungodly lusts. And it's a powerful grace. He said, be ye perfect, for I'm perfect. Why would he give us a commandment that we couldn't keep, or something that would just frustrate it all of our lives? Man, my new life in Christ is a departure from the world and and it's not just the barroom sinning. There's all kind of sinning we could be involved in, but we've departed. Look, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we really go into depth or drill down on this teaching, when do you die to sin? Why would we not reckon ourselves, which we'll get to later? Why wouldn't we consider the person who's come to Christ to be dead to themselves? This is what he's saying. Look, watch. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, there we are. There we have the substance with which we are baptized into. Now, we are being immersed specifically into the death of Jesus Christ. And I believe this is something that should be a major focal point on all Christians, that we should just literally cause people to have an encounter with this particular baptism. But the cross is just made almost of no effect, and we'll get back to that. Let's keep reading. Know you not that as so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, which should be the cure for the sin problem. Keep going. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Wow. That from henceforth and from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, here we go, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. Now, Romans 6, 7, and 8, right, as a matter of fact, starting chapter 5, verse 12, all the way through chapter 8, is one of the most powerful Bible studies you could ever do. It's just tremendous work of the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul. And as he deals with this, it's amazing to me, Romans 6 and Romans 8 may be the most powerful verses you'll ever read anywhere, but most people choose to live in Romans 7 like an unredeemed, unrepentant, unsaved man, like just still totally possessed by the Adamic nature and the carnal man. And look, folks, I'll tell you right now, you can live in Romans 7 if you want to, but boy, I found Romans 6 and 8 and I live there. And so I want that old man, I reckon him dead. And we'll get back to that in just a few minutes. So now he asked the question, know you not who are we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? So we beg the question, when do we die to sin? Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Very important. Now, stay with it. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, when I first came to Christ, immediately I was counseled to get water baptism. And in the counseling to the water baptism, they put us all in the water that evening, they took us and they showed us that we're buried. That's what the water baptism, we're buried. It's symbolically, we're buried with him in baptism. And then we're raised up a new creature in Christ. And I love that symbolism, and I have zero problem with it. None whatsoever. And would be glad to do that. I've baptized folks, and not a problem. But the issue is, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about being baptized into his death, the actual baptism into the death of the cross. The likeness of his death, a similar death. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told the Galatian church, he said, who has bewitched you, foolish Galatians? Who bewitched you? Who demonized you in that you should not obey the truth of the gospel? He said, so he said, who bewitched you that you wouldn't obey the truth of the gospel? Know you not, watch this, I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. I stuttered there for a second and it threw me off. Look at it. Galatians 3, verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth as crucified among you? Now, this portrayal, the Apostle Paul said, look, Galatians, look, I'm the one who brought you this gospel. I want to know who demonized you that you wouldn't obey the truth. I know for a fact Jesus Christ was portrayed, and that word evidently set forth. It's almost like to paint a picture, to do a portrait, write it right in front of someone while they see and observe it. He was portraying the death of the cross. He said, before your eyes, Jesus was evidently set forth as crucified among you. He brought them to the place of the cross, and they came to that encounter at the cross where they had to weep their way through it. Look, man, as a preacher, I can bring you through to the cross, but folks, only you can go through that cross. And it's through the cross, it's through that we're baptized into his death. Folks, when I came eyeball to eyeball with the death of Christ on the cross, it was the most traumatic spiritual thing that ever took place in my life. And it literally transfigured me, transformed me, and has set me a course for 42 years, and I will not turn back. I want to tell you, I saw the cross. And listen, I just spoke of my baptism earlier. That night that I got baptized, well, it was actually a few days later, The night that I gave my life to Jesus, that same man who baptized me, Eddie Martin, I think he's passed on now, Baptist evangelist, they call him the million soul man. He's supposedly won over a million people to Jesus. Tremendous. But as a matter of fact, I rode around with him for a few days just visiting. He had visitors' cards from the tent revivals he was at. And, we had a great, he was just a detached kind of soul man. He just, he couldn't care less about the world. All he could care less or care for was bringing more people to Jesus. And so Eddie Martin was the one kind of working with me to get me to the baptismal pool. But let me tell you what happened. The night I gave my life to Christ, I began to see the crucified face of Jesus right before me. No matter what I was doing, for the next several weeks, all I could see was Jesus crucified. Now, I want to tell you what, I went through water baptism and all that, and that's fine. But I want to tell you something. That imagery stayed with me. I could see a vision. I could see Jesus bloodied and beaten, and I could not shake it. It stayed with me for weeks at a time. And I was at work. I was on my crane at work in the at the nuclear plant back there. I was a heavy equipment operator, and I was reading my Bible. And no, I don't think the particular passage has anything to do with it, but I can remember I kept asking God, when I saw that face, I said, why did Jesus die? I can't remember a conscious day in my life when I did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died, buried, and rose again. I grew up Roman Catholic, and they kind of put all that stuff in us. We understood that, and with catechisms, and I went through all the, quote, sacraments and that kind of deal. I didn't get the last rites, praise God. So anyway, Jesus gave me those. And so when we came to the point of I would ask Jesus, look, when I was a little kid in the Roman church, I'm telling you, I would see that crucifix up there and I'd say, why did he die? Everybody talked about he died, buried, and rose from dead. All right, but why? I can remember seeing video. They showed us a film in the cafeteria at our school there, and Jesus was getting crucified. I remember that Roman soldier. I can see it right now while I'm telling you this. They were nailing the nail in his wrist. And I said, why would they do that to him? Why would they do that? Why did Jesus die? And I'm telling you, after a life of terrible sinning, I believe God was answering that question that I had as a little fellow. And here we are with this vision in front of me. My sins were just eating me alive. I had made a commitment. I said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. And all I could see was the crucified, bloodied face of Jesus. And I'm sitting in my crane at work. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and he said, Jesus took what you deserved. Folks, this was the most radical thing that ever happened to me in my life. The brokenness that filled my life, I begin to just say right out loud, this is not fair. I was so scared. I was shook to the core that the very fact that Jesus would die for what I did, because all I could think was how pitiful I'd been, how wretched I'd been, what a pathetic sinner I was. And then Jesus, who I only knew good of, he took my place. And I said, this is an injustice. It's not right. It's not fair. And it broke my heart. And I'm going to tell you, in those days, you could have made me cry if you shoot me with a gun. But I began to weep and weep and weep. And I felt the presence of God fill that cab of that machine I was in. And I can remember, I was like covering my head. I was crying at work, man. I mean, I was a tough guy. We don't do that. I remember the love of God was filling that cab up. I was crying so hard and I was resisting. I said, Lord, no. I'm not worthy for your love. And I remember, I said, please have mercy on me. And when I did, the Spirit of God just filled my heart and I began to weep so hard. It felt like my sins were pouring out of my eyes. And the old man that I was dying right there on the spot. I died that day. And it had nothing to do with water. I was baptized in the cross that day. I went through the cross. I came to the cross by preaching and by being drawn by the Holy Spirit. But I had to go through the cross. And I went through the cross and I came out a new creature. Old man that I was died with Jesus. The man of sin died with him. Folks, I didn't want nothing to do with what I'd been doing. It lost all allure. I quit. And I got a new heart and a new spirit. And he put his laws in my heart and wrote them on my mind. All I could think about was how to obey him. And what could I ever do to repay such a wonderful thing? Whatever. Please, Lord. Thank you. It's a tremendous thing. Folks, if you don't have some testimony of how you came to the cross and through the cross, if the cross hasn't impacted you, maybe you don't understand just how wretched you are. Keep going with this passage. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. I thank God. I knew nothing of the Bible. I knew nothing. I just knew Roman catechisms and whatever they gave us there. But I'm going to tell you right now. That preacher that night, he was instructing us on our baptism. We're going to be buried in this water and you come up and you... Well, that did not happen to me in that water. But what happened to me at the cross was very specific, very profound, and life-changing. It was so traumatic, I could never be the same again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's what got me, the baptism into his death, not the water. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptized into death. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And now this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. We should understand that the Apostle Paul claimed this same encounter that I say. He said, I am crucified with Christ. The co-crucifixion. We all want to say, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, he did. Now he's saying, now you die. You die. Christ wants to live in you. And let me tell you, a two-headed thing is a monster. He wants to fill you. Drive the old man out so that he can live. The life I live in the faith, I live by the flesh. In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, this life belongs to Christ. Keep reading this. For if you've been planted together in the likeness of his death, you shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Did what? The body of sin might be destroyed? Folks, these aren't just little nice little ditties. When does this happen to us? Some of you need to go back and truly inventory your life and say, have I been to the cross? Have I truly been saved? Did I die? How can I be born if I'm born again? You see, the old man has to die to get a new man. What's the problem is we got the old man and the new man living together, and it's a hypocrite. It's a religious hypocrite that just lives by religious knowledge, and there's been no new birth. We've bypassed the cross. We've bypassed repentance. Folks, this is where true life. See, he says, you at the cross, we pass from death unto life. Let me tell you something. The flesh hates the idea of the cross. I want you to think about the cross. Think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Think about him going to the cross. It bothered him so much. He sweated great drops of blood. The Bible says he was hurt and that he feared. He was shaken to the core. Elijah and Moses had to come talk to him and encourage him about what was fixing to happen to him. He knew he was going to be handed over to the scribes and Pharisees. They would beat him, mock him, crown him with thorns, whip him, and then nail him to a cross. And he would suffer for 6 hours in agony until he bled to death. Back laid bare, beaten to where his ribs were showing through the back. Crown of thorns, pressed into God knows what, probably sticking his eyeballs, everything. They didn't care. They couldn't care less what they were hurting. They whipped him mercilessly. And it wasn't no Jewish whipping for 39 stripes. This is a Roman whipping. They couldn't care about the Jewish law. They beat him and beat him. He should have died. It was a double jeopardy. It was either crucifixion or scourging. No, they scourged him. Then they crucified him. What a terrible thing. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The very iniquity of you doing just what you want to do. Sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. You might be a nice person. You might be a good fellow, a good girl. You might be an okay person. Oh, they're just so sweet. They're so kind. Let me tell you, there's going to be some sweet and kind people in agony in hell because they never got right with Jesus. You thought your own goodness was good. Well, I'm glad I wasn't one of them crackheads. I'm glad I wasn't one of them dope smokers. I'm glad I wasn't a bum. I'm glad I wasn't a prostitute. I'm glad I wasn't, well, yeah, well, you good. I'm glad I wasn't a goody two-shoes so the cross would mean something to me. I was forgiven much and I love him much. Stay with it. Go to the cross. I can bring you there. Some of you need to look right into your own life. Don't you hide behind your religious existence, your church going, your water baptism. Don't you hide behind your preacher or your Sunday school class. Don't you hide behind your attendance record. Don't you hide in a one place. You can't hide. I want to tell you, there's nothing you can hide from. Because God wants you to do business with your sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed. Why is it that somebody can claim to be Christian and they keep on sipping their alcohol, doing their drugs, fornicating, drinking, running around, cussing? Cheating, lying, stealing, and you claim Christianity. You're not Christian. You've not encountered the cross. The body of sin might be destroyed. Oh, drug addict, hear me. Hear me, pervert. Hear me, homosexual. Hear me, sinner. Hear me, rank sin. Hear me. If you would come to the cross and let the body of sin be destroyed, the addictions you're in are not your problem. It's the root cause of sin and death working in your members. Oh, the only remedy, you hear me carefully, the only remedy is the precious blood that dripped out of the veins of Jesus. The only antidote for your sin is Jesus' blood and faith in that blood applied to the heart, just literally appropriated to your own life until God's gavel in heaven declares you not guilty. Pull this right into your soul. Listen to verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, I've said this often when I talk about this, and I want to tell you right now, I've been to many funerals, performed many funerals. You can walk up to that coffin and spit on that dead man. He won't do a thing. Slap him in the face, poke him in the eye, call him names, take his money, just pull his, get his shoes off. Take anything out of there. He won't flinch because he's dead. So why are Christians so alive? Why are we so sensitive to everything? So much in self-preservation, so much in self-exaltation, self-promoting, it's all selfishness. How is that Christianity? It's not even kind of. Apparently the devil can raise the dead as well. Verse 8, for now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more dominion on him. Let me tell you what, the law is the law of sin and death. When God takes care of this problem in you with sin and death, and he gives you the victory, and that literally you die with Christ, you die to the old man of sin, and you're buried with him, and you come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Dead to the law of sin and death, but alive to the law of Christ. I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 8. Let's just take a peek at this for just a second. Chapter 8. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm under a higher law, folks, and you can be under that too. Go through the cross and let the higher law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus govern you. Not the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You don't have to wait till you die or till Jesus comes back to get resurrection. You can get resurrected from your dead. Jesus said, you who are dead, he told the Pharisees, you're dead in your sins. The Apostle Paul said, you who were dead in trespass and sin, you has he made alive. He can raise you from the deadness of sin and cause you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 8, verse 13. He said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, here's something I want you to see. But if you through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, do mortify, kill, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. I want to tell you right now, there's a thing that I call Holy Ghost assisted, not suicide, homicide. The Holy Ghost will first off convict you. Do you know what a convict is? That's somebody who went to court. He went to the court, and you know what happened? He went to the court and they found him guilty or her guilty. And the judge said, you're guilty. That's a convicted felon at that point. Convicted. Let's turn to John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. Very important verse. I'm going to change one word. I'm just going to transliterate. I won't be changing it. But if we look at verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus speaking. "It is expedient for you that I go away." Wait, it's good for us if Jesus goes away? "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Parakletos, he will come and live inside. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom come. And it's advantageous that we get what Jesus had on the earth, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have God within. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's in us. Now watch. Verse 8. "And when he," the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will reprove." Now here's the word I'm going to transliterate. It's called convict. "He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The conviction, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will inventory your life, and he will convict you. He will judge you. Oh, God forbid, I said, judge you. The Holy Spirit will judge you and say, "You're guilty of this. You're guilty of this sin." Now, that ain't me saying it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. And look what he says about this. I'm just going to deal with this one facet of this. He said, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Now, let me tell you something, old sinner. Let me tell you straight up. The fact is, well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Folks, if you're still living in sin, you don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Look at it carefully. "Of sin, because they believe not on me." So you better examine the word "believe," because so many say that they believe and they do not believe. If you can't believe for the salvation from sin, what do you think you're saved from some future hell if you're not saved from your present sin? No way. No way. Let's go back to our text in Romans. Let me finish up in Romans 6. "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God." Folks, we should not live the rest of our lives abiding in the sinful lust of our flesh. We should live to him who bought us back from our sin. Verse 11, here we go. "Likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That word "reckon" is so powerful. One of our house churches this week was going through this passage, and I mean, they're reckoning everything, right? They were having a big time on the word "reckon." Now, one of the things about this word "reckon," it literally means to do an inventory of your life. But if you do this, watch, "reckon" means, listen to it, it means the equivalent, having a like force or weight. Wait a minute, watch this here. Equivalent to, or having a like force or weight of. When we think about reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. If I reckon myself with the equivalency of what Jesus went through, if I reckon myself with the same force and weight of what Jesus went through at the cross, when that kind of reckoning begins to take place in your life, folks, this is where the Holy Ghost will help you die to your sin. If you walk in the flesh, if you live in the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will take you to the cross and pull you right through the thing. The flesh, let me tell you something. That old rugged cross, it said it holds a wondrous attraction for sin. Nothing about the cross makes human sense. Nothing. Not one thing is appealing. But folks, when the sick sinner gets to the end of his road and he said, "I don't want one more thing of this world. I have to have God. God have mercy on me." Only the cross is so attractive at that point. Oh, let's run through it. It's the foolishness to this world, but it's the power of God for those who are saved. We understand it. I never went to one day of rehab, never went to one withdrawal, man, I was drinking that whiskey and smoking that dope and taking them pills and snorting that cocaine and doing every kind of drug and junk you could do to, and just, I mean, chasing them women in the clubs and I mean, fighting and just stupid, cuss like a dog. I'm telling you, all that went away. No rehab. What you need is a self-ectomy. At the cross where God kills your soul, just kills what you were, and you come up a new creature in Christ. Glory to God. I want to take you a little bit further into another passage, and we've already dealt with Galatians, so I want to go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. And in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul says something I think is very important. In verse 16, he said, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, I want you to see that. Christ did not send me to baptize. So the Apostle Paul now, he kind of like what I've got at that kind of pattern. I've baptized a few folks in my life, and I don't have, like I said, when we started this thing, I don't have a problem water baptizing. I just don't. I'm looking at some people right in this room that I've water baptized. No problem. No, I would do it again. But that's not the big issue. Let me tell you something. I've spent my ministry trying to bring people to the cross and through the cross, trying to awaken this in their spirit, to break the sin nature, to kill it, and get the and raise them up in the partaker of a divine nature where the power of the grace of God is stronger than the power of your flesh. This has been the what my ministry is. So Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Look what this is. Look what it says. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of no effect. You see, I believe we've talked ourselves right out of the cross. I think the things that matter in the cross of Christ, the starting point for Christianity is right there. As a matter of fact, it's the starting point, ending point, it's all points in between. That the cross of Jesus Christ. I've heard numerous preachers in my ministry, 42 years now, and I'm almost 43, be 43 years next month. I've heard numerous preachers say, brothers, I've had a revelation and it's about the cross. I'm like, really? And this just occurred to you. What have you been talking about before? Should we just erase everything you've done prior to this? What kind of foolishness is that? I've known some very seasoned preachers. I've had a revelation, brothers. If I said their names, everybody would know. Two names in particular. I'm like, what? I've had a revelation. Right now, I'm glad you get a revelation. Step out of the pulpit and go through the cross and just get your life right. Quit preaching, because whatever you've done was wrong. I don't care how big your church you grew was. Stop preaching it. Just go home. If you're just getting a revelation across 40, 50 years later, forget it, Jack. You did something very wrong. 1 Corinthians says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of no effect. Folks, there's nothing more powerful than to just say, forget everything else, let's just preach the cross. Not apologetics, not explanations, just preach the cross. And take it or leave it. Jesus died for you, it's your move. Well, what, nothing, shut up. Take it or leave it, go through the cross or you're not going to make it. Listen to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brothers, would not come to you, I came to you not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do you think Paul was doing? He's talking to the Corinthians. These are the wealthy church. This is wealthy people. This is an affluent society. And all he talked about was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. Let me tell you, when I first came to Christ, I was teaching these Bible studies. I didn't know teach. I shouldn't say teach. Forgive me for saying teaching. I would just read the Bible and say, man, this is awesome. And people began to gather around me at the nuclear plant, and people would listen to the word, and people start crying, and I don't know what to do with them. I never been no preacher. All I know is I tell, Jesus just did this for me. Look at what the Bible says. Somebody ought to talk about the Bible. Jesus has all kind of stuff in here. And people would weep and cry. It was a demonstration of the Spirit of power. Some of those men I know for a fact are still walking with Jesus today. Tremendous. And I ain't never said a sinner's prayer with them. Thank God. Whatever I did learn about the sinner's prayer, I've forgotten it now. And thank God, and it's gone. Bye. Now, I only wanted to know. I was determined not to get into a bunch of this and that. I only wanted to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, this is a brilliant man of God. Read his writings. You ain't figuring out half of what this man says. The Holy Ghost was so rich in the Apostle Paul. He said, forget all that. Never mind. He would just paint the picture of Jesus dying in front of people. The day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood and preached powerfully. And at the end of his sermon, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Excuse me, let me back up. He said, and you crucified Him. You crucified Him. You crucified Him. He put the guilt of the crucifixion of Christ on every person who heard Him that day. You crucified Him. You killed Jesus. Folks, I am understood. Listen, when you take ownership of the death of Jesus, that I did this to, I killed the Son of God. When you take the ownership of that, you're at the very threshold of a brokenness that would set you free, a death that would make you live. Oh, hear me. The cross, the cross, the cross. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I don't want to go too deep into this, but I do want to talk about it a little bit. Starting verse 6, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Folks, I believe the Christian traditions of today are as blinding as the Jewish traditions were in the day of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think if Christ came to earth today, most Christians would say, away with such a fellow. We don't want any part of him. I don't think they would even recognize Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not portrayed in the churches. He's portrayed as wealth, prosperity. He's here for you. He's your ambulance driver. He's your fix-all. Would you fix my way for me? Give me what I want. Santa Claus. He's the Easter Bunny. He's your Mardi Gras parade. But he ain't the Jesus Christ that's seated at the right hand of glory. He's not him. Keep reading. We've been cheated through traditions. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all embodied, physically embodied in Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom you also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Well, there's our thought again. Wherein you also are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Wow. Circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Folks, in the old covenant, to enter into covenant with God, a male was to come, and that went now a grown man would do this. And it was actually, it's a very hazardous procedure, especially with somewhat, they made flint rocks. Oh my gosh. And I don't even want to think about it. I don't think I'd have been saved under Abraham's way of doing it. They would, that you cut the excess skin away from the source of the life source of the flesh. And it was a bloody mess, and it left the person coming into covenant, it left him scarred. The circumcision scar. That literally the excess flesh was cut away from the life source of the flesh. In the new covenant, the flesh nature is cut away from the heart. It's cut away. When we come to the cross, the circumcision made without hands. See, God cut covenant with us. He let Jesus die on the cross. God has now cut the covenant. And when you and I come face to face with God cutting the covenant with us, and see that this is not this isn't joining a club. This is life and death. You die so you can live. You die to that life and live my life. You die to this world and live to the kingdom of God. Excuse me. When God lets this, when this circumcision made with, when God said, a new heart and a new spirit will I give unto you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and put in a heart of flesh. This is the new covenant. You'll not teach anymore saying to your neighbor, know the Lord. Everyone will know from the least to the greatest. Everybody's going to know him. And your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Now, amazing, today we've reduced the new covenant down to just sins and iniquities remembered no more. What about this event, the circumcision made without hands? Look what he says, buried with him in baptism. But it's a circumcision made without hands. This isn't water baptism. This is literally the trauma of being, of dying with Christ on the cross. The co-crucifixion. Hallelujah. I want to go back to that passage because I did it an injustice. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. I want to read that. I only have a couple more verses and I'll let you go weep. Some of you need to really weep your way through the cross. I mean, just weep your way right through it. I remember reading the life of Charles Finney. Finney's just such a great preacher. He spent his whole time getting everybody unsaved from false doctrine. When they get unsaved, they begin to weep. He got a message one night from, it was just somebody gave him a note, and there was an address saying there's a person who wanted to see him, and he got an address on the street. And so as he was approaching the near to the address, he began to hear what sounded like an animal wailing and moaning in a home. And as he approached that place, he said, oh, wow, this is the house I'm going to. And when he got there, they said, the man is upstairs, and they carried him upstairs, or they brought him upstairs to see this man. He was a big construction type fellow. He had been to Mr. Finney's meeting, and when he heard the preaching of the cross, it broke. He got under such heavy conviction, this was the state he was reduced to. He was weeping and wailing. He couldn't contain himself. And Finney looked at him one minute, and he said, if this is conviction, what is hell? Some folks need to feel the stench of hell. smell it, taste it, feel it. Feel the thickness of darkness, a fire without light, a gross darkness where you grope for eternity without any light, burning in a body that will live forever, that cannot die. A worm seems to live there, and it will literally torment the flesh for eternity. And all you'll hear for eternity is the cries of the damned, weeping and cursing the preachers and liars that didn't tell them the truth. Please, I don't want my name uttered one time. I'd rather you weep for the rest of your days here than weep in eternity. Acts 2, in verse 36, he says, Peter's ending his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You crucified him. Man, if you just stop right now and say, I killed Jesus. Would you just make that confession, I killed him. Would you just begin to let that stick in your spirit and just take ownership? I did this to him. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to see, they were pricked in the heart. The arrows of God stuck fast in their hearts. I mean, literally, God bit his bow and shot them with Holy Ghost arrows right in the heart. They were pricked, like when you stab the ox goad. They were a very hard thing. Look, remember when the martyr Stephen, he got killed. He preached that great sermon, and they took up rocks and began to stone him, and they killed him. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Well, at the beginning of that message, it says when he brought up the point, he said, "The Most High does not dwell in houses made by men." And he said, "How long will you resist the Holy Ghost, you stubborn and stiff-necked people?" They went, "Ah!" And they and begin to throw rocks at it, and they kill him. And he said they were pricked in the heart. I want you to notice something. Some of you out there might be getting mad at the way I preach. You might be getting mad that I would just keep pushing. Won't you let up? Leave me alone. Just tell me how much God loves me and has a plan for my life and how he wants to prosper me. Now, you ain't going to hear that out of this preacher. What you're going to hear is me bring you to the cross and bring. And it says they were pricked to the heart. You see, conviction can manifest with an unrepentant person. They'll get so angry and religiously justified in their anger and say, "Ooh, I hate you." Where the Christian conviction, when the sinner is convicted and broken and humbled, what must I do? It's a big difference. In Luke chapter 9, I'm going to close with this passage. This is one of the verses that I was reading before I got saved. I would read a Bible that was given to me, and I was under deep, deep conviction for months at a time. It's lasted a long time. I mean, I was very much under conviction. Didn't know what to do. I didn't know anything about what to do. Verse 23 of Luke 9, he says, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, and that was the day of Pentecost when the kingdom come. Let me tell you, take up your cross daily. You see, The cross isn't just for carrying, it is for crucifixion. The cross is an instrument of corporal punishment. It is literally a death sentence. It is not for spanking. It is not, okay, put him up there for a while till he learns his lesson. Now pull him down and let him go back at it. No, that's not what it is. You die. You don't come back. When someone comes to carries the cross, they do not return. They're dead. Take up your cross daily. Our paths will intersect with the will of God. And many times what we want and what God want are at a crossroads. And folks, at some point, these struggles are very real. And at some point, we have to say, not my will. You will go to your Gethsemane and say, not my will. You will struggle this out in prayer. And you will surrender this to the Lord. Not what I want, God, but what you want. Thy will be done. The cross is a thing we should never leave. This is a very active part of the Christian walk all through it. And if all you've got is some testimony, back 40 years ago, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Well, what? What since then? Well, you know, I don't read my Bible like I should. I don't pray like I should. I don't go to church like I should. And all of a sudden, these like a shoulds start coming to you, like a should. And you, folks, when does it, what was that? If you're working on some little emo experience you had years ago and it's not transfigured your life, go back to the cross and die with him there. Take up the cross daily and follow me. Folks, go find you a quiet place and weep your way through the cross. That's the best counsel I can give you. God bless.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.